I was just going to show you some of the books that I used in my study that might be a help to you. And this one is a real cute, very quick, you see that nice big print, read called Shopping for Time. And it's a fun little book. It's written by some sisters and their mama. And they're all pastor's wives or something like that. And it's called Shopping for Time and How to Do It All and Not Be Overwhelmed. But I'll tell you now, they define all, all being what God would have you do. You can get this one on Amazon. It's like $3. So I really recommend you get that. Overcoming Overload. I believe this is in our bookstore. So this is a good reference. And really, we really beefed up our bookstore for resources for you guys. So take them home and stack them up beside your bed and spend as much time as you can getting some insight to the scriptures. Having a merry heart in a Martha world. You've heard of this. And ladies, today we're not going to be mean to Martha. We're not even going to talk about Martha. So no Martha, Martha, Martha today. Poor Martha. All she was doing, she was just trying to have a party with the most favorite people in the world, you know. Haven't we all felt that way?
Just need a little help.
Seriously. I love you, but come on. Yeah. This is a good book. So, this book is great. It's by our pastor. It's back there. We have a few copies. And I also encourage you, if you go to our website, he preached a series of sermons. And you can go to our website and see all the sermon series. And there's two I'm going to recommend. One is this one, Live Lighter, Love Better. And the other is called Confident Joy, which is the name of our conference. And it is a wonderful study of the book of Ephesians. So I would encourage you to make use of those resources. Also, this book is just beautiful to hold. It's very restful. And it's called Grace Laced by Ruth Chow Simmons. And you can follow her on social media. I follow her on Instagram. And it's just beautiful, encouraging, restful, gospel-centered messages throughout your day. And this is just a beautiful book to just encourage your heart when you need to see it. My sister. I call my daughter my sister. She's really my daughter. But she teaches 8th grade. Okay, 8th grade. And she has this on her desk so that she can, she goes, I just need to see it. I just need to be reminded.
Knowing that it's pretty inside, what to do.
Yeah, they're smelly. But anyway, we've had some of these in our bookstore, but they're not there anymore. So you could check Amazon as well.
Oh,
I'm excited. Pardon? A lady named Ruth Chouse, either Simons or Simmons.
I think Simons,
yeah.
One M or two?
One. I homeschooled. I know the rules, but...
It doesn't hold.
It's not, yeah, whatever. Anyway, lovely, lovely stuff. Encouraging stuff. You're not going to hear anything from me that's like groundbreaking, I can assure you. But let's just be reminded of what the Bible says. I mean... I encouraged everybody to just do a word search of rest and peace. And I could spend the whole hour just reading scripture and let the scripture preach to our hearts. And so I really, there's one chair right here. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Come on, I'm a teacher.
Yeah,
you don't have to see it. Right up.
Okay.
One chair is good.
All right.
One person. Just for you,
as far as I know. Last year when I did this, I forgot to pray. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this fun group of ladies and for the opportunity to be together. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts and that you would calm our hearts from the noise and help us to listen and to hear what you have planned for us and how you love us and how you want to offer us rest. First, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, before I go any further, I have to tell you, I have been to many ladies' seminars over my 30-something years of being a Christian, and many, many times it was, do more. And I was left beat up and exhausted. And I don't want you to feel that way when you leave, because trust me, I don't want you to be like me. I'm not speaking to you from a pinnacle of achievement at all. As a matter of fact, whenever I got a text asking me to teach this, I thought I was a group text, because I was like, okay, whatever. And then I realized it wasn't. And it was to me. It meant me. And it was like a snake. I was like, no, I'm just not going to touch that. But it was because the Lord would really wanted to show me some things. And I'm really thankful. But it was pretty scary. So I'm not, they didn't ask me because I've mastered at all. So I'm learning with you. So I have to get that out of the way. So I am preaching to my own heart, and borrowing that phrase. So preaching to my own heart. And the neat thing about this topic is it doesn't matter if you're a mom. It doesn't matter if you're a student. It doesn't matter how old you are. Every single one of us needs to rest. And that we need physical rest. We need emotional rest. And we just need rest for our souls. And it's a balance. And if you get out of whack, everything gets out of whack, as we know, as women. If one thing's out of whack, we're all out of whack. So I can't tell you what you need to do and what you're supposed to be doing aside from this to find rest. That's something that we have to do. We do have to invest a little time in this. And which seems sort of like, well, that's kind of confusing. If you have to, I don't have time. That's why I came. I'm here because I don't have any time. The truth is that we need to spend a little time. We need to invest some time to find some time. So, God has planned what we can do, and we can find rest in the midst of everything. This is a chaotic world. If you remember, if you were here yesterday, Pastor Kerry gave the welcoming statement, and he quoted the verses, "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Who needs that? All of us need that. Come unto me. That's all. There's no activity attached. Come unto me. And he's speaking to us in our busyness, and as we're just laden down and carrying all of our cares and everything, all of our heartaches and disappointments. And he's just saying, come, take on my yoke of mercy. And rest is lighter. It's lighter than doing it yourself. So let me help you. You don't have to be a big genius to look around you and see. Our whole world is chaotic. Our whole world is racing. There's an app. There are apps you can get to remind you to focus and breathe. I'm serious. It's like sad. it's a little timer, and it's just like breathe deep
for 1 minute.
You know, and that's sad. It's sad that we have to have technology to remind us just to, you know, to do that. And if you were to do a search on Amazon for a book for a book on rest, thousands. This is a hot topic, not just for Christian ladies. I mean, for the whole world, because there's all kinds of there's just all kinds of viewpoints on how to get rest. And my favorite, and I think is the unofficial title, my favorite one was Unhitching from the Crazy Train, Finding Rest in a World You Can't Control. I didn't read that book, but I'm like, that speaks to my heart's desire, because everything feels like a train, a runaway train.
Yeah.
Just downhill, there's no bridge. And I just like to unhitch from that and find some peace in the midst of it. And the cool thing about it is God's Word tells me it's there.
Yes.
I just have to avail myself to it. It's there. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about sleep, because I don't think anybody is going to argue with me that they don't need sleep. We do. It's documented. You can find it. Your doctor's going to tell you to go to sleep. Everything. And you know, sleep is a gift from God. It's also a reminder that we're not God, the fact that we need sleep. Psalm 121:3-4 says, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep." Mm-hmm. Never. He takes care of everything while you sleep. He manages without us to keep it all rolling. And sometimes we act like, oh, you know, it's just all going to fall apart if I'm not here. He works when we can't. He set an example in Scripture, first of all, after creation, who took a day to rest, not because he was tired, but because he was satisfied, and he was setting that example. Jesus himself invited his disciples to come apart and refresh themselves and rest. So why do we think we are an exception and don't need that? Is that temptation there? Especially if you have a household and all of this going on, all these kids everywhere and whatever, it's a temptation to cheat yourself of your sleep, is it not? Mm-hmm. Because logically, that's the best thing to do. And I'm not saying that there's not a season where if you have a newborn, you're not going to be able to tuck in for your 8 hours, you know. But we tend to overcommit ourselves. And then we cheat ourselves of sleep that we need, that God made us to need. So there's no logic there. It's just something that we do to ourselves. And sometimes we kind of take a little pride in that. You know, I won't ask for a show of hands, but have you ever been around somebody who, oh, yes, I got up at 4 and had my... And you're just like weary hearing it. Maybe you've been that person, you know, because I think we've all been on both sides of it. We like to, there's a lot of pride in the, I've deprived myself to, you know, do all this amazing.
The glorification of busy.
Yes, the worship of busy, you know, to the point where we're sacrificing our sleep on there. And sometimes we will look at someone who wisely guards their rest as they're not in. They're not committed. They're lazy. They're weak. They're blah, blah, blah. So this sleep thing is weird because it can be a pride thing too, you know. And we all know how wonderful we are when we're tired. We're just amazing people. I know I am. No, we're little shrews when we're angry and we're tired and we're just crabby and awful, and we are so, we're like toddlers. Can you ration with a tired toddler? No, it's just, you know, they're singing that nap song. and that's the way we are. I mean, think about Elijah. He was like slaying the prophets, and he was just on top. And the next chapter, he's running. And then he goes and he hides, and he's just kill me off all by myself. And all this. Because he was tired. He was exhausted. And, you know, did the Lord upbraid him and scold him and beat him? she let him sleep. And it doesn't say how long he let him sleep, but he let him sleep a good long time. Woke him up to feed him, put him back to bed until he could. We cannot process truth when we are exhausted because our brains aren't rational. It just doesn't work that way. That's the way God made us, by the way. It's not like kooky science. No, God made us that way. I love in the scripture when the angel is ministering to Elijah, it's giving him, I know, something really wonderful, probably bread, lots of good carbs, and he's sleeping, and he said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And our journey by ourselves is indeed too great for us if we do not allow the Lord to minister to our hearts, minister to our souls, feed us, and get the rest that we need spiritually. When we're worn out, we resent. I promised I wouldn't use Martha, but here's Martha. She's like, "What about her?" I mean, you know. And when we're tired, we're just like, "What about? Why come do I have to do everything?" And we sound like toddlers. And we resent our work, our ministry. We resent our families. We resent everything that we love because we're tired. We've let ourselves to be exhausted. And often our exhaustion is a good indicator that something's out of whack here. All of our relationships are under strain, at least if you were in my house, everything is strained. Because, you know, I'm keeping the world going here.
With one hand?
With one hand.
That's right.
Because, you know, and I don't have time to sleep because, you know, I've just got to keep this going. And it's just ridiculous. It's imperative that we sleep. Sometimes there are lovely parts of your life that make sleep unattainable. As newborn, if you have babies, you always think, "Oh, what's it going to be like when I'm an empty nester and I can sleep?" You won't sleep then either, because then your hormones come in. It's a cruel thing. But if you have a problem, if you think you have a physical problem, and I'm not, you know, we know all the. I have some lavender diffusing, and that just. You know, I had the ocean waves playing, which at my house that plays all the time because it just sort of. There are things you can do to help yourself unwind, and that information is readily available. You know, changing your wind down part of the day, how much screen time you have in the later part of the day, of course, caffeine intake, which is kind of silly because we've been like pumping coffee into you guys for 2 days now. There's a myriad of things that you can do. Exercise, you know, why would you do that? yoga, you can do some relaxing yoga stretches. Just there's all kinds of things, all kinds of information out there for that if your sleep problem is a physical one. And maybe you need to talk to your doctor. Maybe you need to have a discussion about your sleep, and he can maybe help you. He can help you address that. In the Psalms, we're told in 127, verses 1 and 2, that unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep.
Yes.
We are very prone to allow ourselves just to get that to where we have to just... It is. It makes your heart race. It makes you tense. It makes you have a headache because we... Anxious toil, I think that is a perfect... description of a lot of our assumed responsibilities. And you know, there's always the time management, because that is awful for me. I'm a terrible manager of time. I struggle with that. I even have a beautiful daytime planner. I have multiple planners.
I do too.
Lots of planners. Beautiful planners. I have functional planners. I use it at work because I have a different life at work. But in real life, I struggle, you know. But that's something that I really want to let the Lord help me with. Because a lot of times we're tired and we don't get the rest we need because we don't manage our waking hours the way that we should. I goof off so much because it's like, oh, look at that. Oh, you know, I'm just so distractible that getting a simple thing done just takes forever. But or I just plan, and my husband's like, you plan so much in 2 hours. You know, I'll be like, oh, well, I can do all of that and what I need to do tomorrow. You know, I'm just constantly, I don't have any realistic concept of what is actually physically doable in a set period of time. So we have to work on that. If that's an area where you struggle, get some resources, do some reading, spend some time. I know that it seems like, wait a minute. No, you're going to have to spend some time and put a little work into this and ask the Lord to meet you there and help you, and He will. You can do things that will purchase you some time. This little book, really good principles about allowing the Lord to help you set your priorities. But, you know, you don't have to do everything. You don't have to. My husband used to tell me when my kids were little and I was homeschooling and all this. And then, you know, if you're in that community, well then, you know, you need to do everything because it's important. He was be like, why don't you find somebody to help you? Like every other week, come in and, you know, spend a couple of hours just doing some housework while you're, you know, going to every lesson there is to be taken and going here and going there. Why don't, and that way it would be a blessing to someone else with a little cash. Refused. Because of my pride. Well, I can't tell another woman that I need their help. Are you serious? Later on, I mean, a couple of years ago, I had a physical problem, and I couldn't. And what a blessing to have a little bit of help, because it freed up, well, for one thing, I couldn't move my arm, but it just freed up my time to where I was more given to hospitality, because I didn't feel like I needed to clean my closets, or start at the roof and work down. You know, there are things that you can do that would purchase you some time. And it doesn't have to cost a lot of money either. You can make an adjustment. When our kids were little, we lived in this house, probably it's maybe half the size of this room. And the kitchen was tiny. We had 3 kids. The kitchen was tiny, and I think our hot water heater, I don't know, 2 or 3 quarts. I mean, I'm serious. Washing dishes after, during and after meal prep took forever. And my husband just said, no. We went to Sam's. We bought the giant thing of, my husband's wonderful. He is a wonderful man. We bought all this stuff, plastic stuff or paper or whatever. The time that saved was incredible. Just that simple purchase, it wasn't even expensive. We probably made some adjustments somewhere else. But the time that saved, and just the drama of every day having the whole kitchen, you know, tied up because we're waiting for hot water and all this stuff, it was wonderful. There, I promise you, there are things you can do. If you examine it, if you take the time to quietly examine what's going on. I don't know, did anybody go to the freezer cooking thing? That was a lifesaver. If you're a student, you're a teacher, how old are your students?
High school,
okay. Do you just say, oh, by the way, this research paper's due tomorrow? No, you give them a plan, don't you?
Piece by piece, day by day.
Reminder by reminder.
Yes, and it's so much fun.
Digital
to grade,
reminder,
right?
Yeah, dings all that, on the iPads. Yeah.
How many do it the way you have them do it?
Two. the way I would like it done. AP course aside, no.
Right, yeah. Because our thing is we know what's required of us, we know what we need to do, and instead of just planning it and doing it, we push it and wait, and then we're losing our minds, mm-hmm. and having to repent and ask everyone to forgive us, and, you know, counseling, I mean, you know, all of this. So look at the things you have to do. These girls recommend taking a little time away, like going to a coffee shop or whatever, even going away in a hotel, which would be amazing.
Go to
the
hotel, coffee shop.
Yes, both, yeah. And just writing down the people that you need to minister to, the things that you need to do, the things that you want to do. Because I think sometimes we don't really invite the Lord into our planning process because we just know, because he's so mean and awful. We just know he's going to tell us no to the things that we're dreaming of and want to do. You know, like, we just assume it's always going to be harsh. And when he says, like, no, my yoke is easy. Yours is pretty awful. So take some time. Really think about how you're spending your time. Think about things that you are dreaming of and that you'd love to do. Maybe you want to learn to do something. Maybe the Lord is sparking a passion in some way that you can serve or do something. Take some time and explore that and ask the Lord to guide you. He will. He wants to. He's fully invested in you. So ask him. He keeps saying, I just think of him as standing there saying, come. You know, you've stood by your kids while they're trying to do something. They won't have your help. They will not have it. And you're just standing there waiting for them to do whatever. And finally, they're just like, you know, and he helps and he fixes. That's what he's doing. He's waiting for us to just say, okay, I need help. Please help me. I want you. I gotta find my place. The Proverbs 31 woman. Yeah.
She had a whole lifetime to do it. Come on.
She's hard to look. Yeah. And she looked good. I mean, it's like all the stuff. Oh, and she always looked amazing. Yeah. I couldn't be her friend. It would be a stretch because. But the thing is no. She had a lot of help. If you read that, she had a lot
servants.
Of help. Exactly. And, you know, well, I don't have servants. Well, you have a washing machine, and you have dishwashers, and you have all this, and maybe you need some help. But what her people called her blessed, and they loved her because of her spirit and her kindness and her godliness and her generosity, not because she was cranking all this stuff out and making money. They loved her because of she was a lovable person. And I think sometimes we try to be this person. We're not so lovable because we're doing all this stuff on our own. She had help. If you need help, please get help. And focus on doing. She focused on what God would have her to spend her resources on. And what didn't matter, somebody else could do. And sometimes things that we think are so valuable are not at all valuable. So, again, prayerful consideration of how the Lord would have you spend your time and how he wants to use you. We can, because we're followers of Christ, we can be confident. I love that our name of our conference is Confident Joy. Because we can have confidence in everything. A lot of time, and it's a funny confidence because it's a confidence. Pastor the other day said that this is a confidence that comes from not having control. Usually you think, oh, you know, we have our clothes that make us feel confident. We have our this and our that, and this is to make us feel confident. So control. But we can have confidence by not being in control. By letting the Lord be in control. We think about the way that we're made. We're made with a purpose in both the Psalms and in Ephesians, which Ephesians is a great study too. I've already recommended you do that. But we're created with a specific purpose and a good purpose. He wants to use you for good works, for good things. That doesn't mean busy work or hard work or crazy work. It means good work, meaningful work. Who in here wants to waste their time just doing dumb stuff? But who in here really wants the time they spend to matter for eternity? I mean, when I turned 50, I think that was the hardest thing. I was like, am I doing anything that matters? You know, it felt like I had this much behind me and this much ahead of me, and I'm just like, I need to make sure that what I spend my time with matters. It's becoming more important to me now that I need to focus on things that I need to be more attuned to doing what God would have me do and not what Glenda would have me do. And what anybody else, my neighbor or anybody else would have me do. Psalm 139, you know this. For thou hast possessed my reins and covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. What this is saying is that the Lord knit us, and I'm a knitter. Anybody knit beside Mary Jane? You guys, anybody else knit? All right, I love that the Lord put a beautiful word picture in here, because can you? I don't have any concept of how a baby develops. I mean, that's a miracle. Mm-hmm. But I can picture this because I happen to knit or crochet or whatever. I picture these teeny, teeny little DPNs, and they're beautiful. They're not gold because I don't like metal needles. They're, you know, some kind of, I just picture this beautiful, elaborate process, very tiny, with beautiful fibers, because they're intentionally picked. Intentionally picked. Do you ever just reach into your yarn bag, pull out a random yarn, reach in, grab two needles, it doesn't really matter if they match, and you just like, well, let's see where this goes. No. Everything, you pick the material, you pick the right size needles, you pick everything, and it's a product of love. When you make something, it is a product of your love, and that's what we are. Everything. You might have been a surprise to your parents, but you were no surprise to God. It was not a random act. It didn't just happen. He knew exactly how he was going to use each one of us and what he had dreamed for us as he wove this. And sometimes he might have embellished us with some physical challenges or something that he could use to bring glory to himself. But it was all done intentionally. And then he was like, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. This is perfect and exactly what you need, or what this person needs to do my plan. So we have a confidence there that there's something for us to do. And maybe, it may be taking care of children, wiping both ends all the time, all day. It may be serving in some capacity in your church. I don't know. But you can be confident that he has something for each and every one of us, and that it's good. It's good. He's created something good for you. He's not real impressed with our busyness and our fury and all of that. It doesn't impress him, and it doesn't ingratiate him at all. It's just us trying to earn it. He tells us, I believe in John, I didn't write down my reference, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. You think about that. Think about your life. Would you consider it abundant? and I don't mean like many, many, much, much in your calendar. I mean, is it satisfying? Mm-hmm. Is it, do you have a sense of just joy that this, I know I'm doing something that matters. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Is it abundant? Are you full and overflowing? Because we're told it doesn't matter where you live or the political situation or your financial situation, and none of that matters. It's available to you. He's promised it to you. But on the other hand, the thief has come to steal it. And there's plenty of opportunities for him to steal it from us. He wants us to be distracted and angry and frustrated and to feel, goodness, if you stand in a supermarket and look at women's magazines, not a lot of happiness going on. Not at all. It's all this, how to find fulfillment, how to find, happiness, and how, and it's just some, exercise and more chasing. Because that's the thief has come to steal it and destroy it. He doesn't want us to be fulfilled and acknowledging this controlling, loving, sovereign God. So he intends for us to be abundant. And he's gifted us specifically. And it's our responsibility as part of our relationship with him to find out what that is. And he'll tell you. He may not tell you every single thing for the rest of your whole life. But if you ask him, what would you have me do? He'll tell you. He'll lead you. Now I'm finding myself again. Sometimes we just run ourselves ragged. We're scared of what God's going to lead us into. Maybe he has something for you that's a little scary. Maybe you don't want to let go of something that you're pretty sure he's not in. I don't know. I don't know why we do it, other than it's just our flesh and our sin deluding us and wanting to keep us away from that. Whenever he promises that his grace is sufficient for us, and then if we're faced with something that we think, oh, I can never do that. Oh, Lord, oh, not that. Then we know that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. If he's asked you to do something, he's not going to leave you hanging. He's going to supply, and we can do all things through him. That doesn't mean everything on your Pinterest board, because there's no way that could happen. I don't have that kind of time left. But the things that matter, he will certainly facilitate that. So I'm encouraging you. I've spent some time, and I have some time planned to spend some time just thinking, praying, reading, and being open. And, it may mean I need to go and say some no's. And it may mean I need to approach someone and say, can I? Could I be a part of that? I don't know. But I want to find out. I have to tell you, whenever we first moved here, we lived in an apartment on the second floor, and I had a parking spot, and whoa, to anybody parked in that parking spot, but it was my parking spot, here's the door, and I would do this ridiculous thing, sadly, every week. I would go to the grocery store, and I would go into my Target, what have you. I had a trunk full of junk, and I would not make two trips. It was just, I didn't have that kind of time, which is ridiculous, but I had to gather up all this stuff, and duck walk to the first security door and work the key and get in. And this door would just like crush you just like that. So, and then I had to go up a flight of stairs, open another security door that, would do that. And then I would go down a hall, and there was my apartment. My neighbors probably thought I was a lunatic, because it was just, I'm just doing this weirdness, and I've got stuff just everywhere. And I wanted to do it the easiest.
Yes, it's easier than making two trips.
Yeah, because I ain't got time for two trips. Yeah, I wanted to do it the easiest way. So I decided to, you know, really, for truly, seriously, permanently damage one of my shoulders. 8 years, girls. 8 years I did this. And my husband would be like, why do you do this? So sometimes I'd make it. You know, I would get it all just right, and I could hop it up to the door, and oh man, if somebody was coming out, it was just like, but you know, I could do it, which was, it just fueled my foolishness, because then I just knew I could do it next time. But more often than not, I'd be, you know, trotting up the stairs, and I'd have stuff falling. A lot of times there's boxes and cans and what have you, but you know, there's stuff all over the stairs. But sometimes it was my eggs, or my bread, or my bananas. And the point of this stupid story is not also how dumb I am, but we carry a lot of stuff we're not meant to carry in ways that we're not meant to carry it. But we're determined that that's the way we're going to do it, because that's the way we're going to do it. And we drop stuff that breaks. We drop our relationships, we damage things, and it's just because we don't take the time to evaluate, is this practical? Because no, if you ever move in a two-story apartment, no, don't do that. You're going to drop things, you're going to hurt things, you're going to hurt yourself, risk your own health. Remember Jesus standing there, call unto me. I will give you rest. I'll help you. Take my yoke. It's easy. It's not damaging. Some of us carry some pretty, we're in an awful world. We're in a sin-cursed world, and we carry some really heavy burdens, pain, and heartache, and guilt, and we carry a lot of stuff, and maybe that's weighing you down, and carrying these things is causing you to drop things that matter. And I like the read Zephaniah 3 sometime. It's a beautiful song. The Lord thy God is the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Mm-hmm. He will rest, which means to quiet you, in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. You know, I look in the mirror, I don't see anybody that deserves singing over or someone taking joy in, but we are. He gave everything. This joy, this rest that we're talking about, extremely expensive, very costly, but free at the same time. So stop trying to fix. And sometimes I think when we're hurting, we're disappointed, or our heart's broken, or frustrated, I think we try to hide that or distract ourselves with just busy. I'm just going to immerse myself in some crazy behavior or whatever to try to salve our own hearts, instead of going to the one who can take that burden from us and save us from it. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. We have hope. A lot of everything out there, there's no hope in that. It is a runaway train that's headed for destruction. But we have hope. We're believers. And thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will it suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. But show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. This is a life I want to live. One that's fulfilling, one that's peaceful, one where I'm communicating with my Father, and I know full well that he is pleased because of Jesus. That's the only reason. Not because I'm doing all this stuff at my church or whatever. He is pleased with me because of his son, and that is all. And that takes a huge burden off of us trying to earn his favor. He never, ever intended for us to manage our lives alone. Never. In John 16, he says, I've spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He knows full well. This is awful. This is doomed. And it's going to be hard. There's going to be some ugly, messy stuff here. But be of good cheer. Because I've overcome all of this. And I'm in you. Mm-hmm. So let me help you. His love is immeasurable. We're his child. And doesn't it just seem like the most logical thing in the world that we should find rest in his care instead of the processes that we try? He just invites us to come. That's all. I can't say that enough. Come. I want to close with this thought. It's a quote from, I believe, John Piper. But it's a beautiful summary. Friends, we can escape the noise and chaos and rest in the calm and quiet of his shelter this day because Christ is all, because he is sovereign, because he finishes the work he begins, because he shed his blood, paid the price for the biggest problem or crisis we could ever truly face. His love crushes the weight of fear, anxiety, guilt, or confusion, and lifts us up in the easy yoke of his grace and mercy. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word and the things that you've taught us today. I pray that you would help us to find some time, some quiet time, to ask you and listen to you as you show us how you would have us to spend our time. And I pray that you would help us also to realize that you're willing to take our burdens and to comfort our hearts, and that we have the promise of abundant life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.